This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry offers a warm welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting the service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the broadcast. We hope you enjoy today's service so much that you continue to worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Who is the leaven in your life? Is it culture or is it God's holy word? We're going to talk about that in a sermon this Sunday. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we live in this old world, we see the number of influences that can make such a great impact on us. Many of them are good, but others are not so good. Today, O God, give us the grace to really take a look at your word and then honestly ask, who is the one who is a leaven in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Jesus loves me.
Friends in Christ, after spending 60 years preaching and teaching the great truths of the Bible, my greatest challenge is still to give a clear picture of what biblical Christianity really is. I believe Jesus himself also found this very challenging and discovered that one of the most effective ways to teach the eternal truths from God's holy word was by using parables, simple stories that come from everyday life. Today, he uses a story from the kitchen. This is my text, only one brief verse, found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through the dough. Evidently, our Lord had watched his mother make bread for the family. He had seen her take a lot of meal and then somewhere in the process to add some leaven. And the leaven, which the biblical commentators tell me, was a little piece of dough which had been kept from a previous baking, and in the keeping it had fermented. The introduction of the leaven causes a transformation in the dough. Unleavened bread is hard, dry, unappetizing, and uninteresting. But bread baked with leaven is soft and spongy and tasty and good to eat. The whole point of this parable lies in one thing, the transforming power of the leaven. The gospel, God's holy word, transforms life for the individual person. And when large numbers of people in a given area are changed, a society is changed. It is God's word speaking to our hearts that brings about these changes. It is God's word that is the leaven. Now again, what is that leaven? Well, it's the word of God, primarily the gospel, but certainly we do not want to overlook the law. Ask the gospel into your life. Ask Christ into your life. Trust him as your Savior and your Lord, and you become a different person. And that growth continues on as long as we abide with him. Now you can ask another question. Well, what is Jesus saying in this parable? How is he the leaven? How does the leaven get into our lives? So forth and so on. What the yeast is to the dough, the gospel is in the life of a person. The gospel, which presents Jesus Christ as a living person, is the one who can change us. But how does this leaven become a part of my life, you might ask? And there are various ways, but let me give one that is so very common to so many of us. For example, here is a person, a child who is born, and after a few weeks, the father and mother take the child to the church to be baptized. The child is given a covenant. God enters into a covenant with him. And then the parents are told to take the child home and introduce the boy or the girl to the living Lord Jesus Christ. And during the course of the year, the child will learn a song such as we have sung already today, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So. And in one sense of the word, the child, as he grows into adulthood, doesn't get any farther than that. It's the gospel that we hang on to, that God loves us in Jesus Christ, that Jesus has come into this world, has suffered and died at the cross of Calvary. And through that sacrificial death, he has paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, if the person then will receive this gospel, this word of God that has been given to us, this Savior as a living person, then his sins are forgiven, and he is brought into a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this all happens where the Word of God is open. It can be in that Christian home with a father and a mother who are concerned that their child have a life that is leavened by the gospel. It can be in the church. The church can be the massive cathedral in a huge city, seating many hundreds of people, or it can be a very humble place of worship, of wood, those kinds of churches that spot the countryside of America and have made America, spiritually speaking, what it really is. It is in that place, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, from the time you're a little kid, only probably 3, 4 years old, hardly able to know what's going on, that you begin to hear, Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus is going to take me home to heaven if I believe in him, and there I will live forever and ever. Now, perhaps it's another way. Maybe you were born into a home that really didn't know anything about the Christian faith. This message that I preach today would not make a whole lot of sense. But then finally one day, someone introduces you to the Lord Jesus and basically tells you what I've already told you in the sermon, that Christ loves you, he died for you, and if you will receive him into your life, it will be different. He, Christ Jesus, through the Word of God, will be the leaven. Now, it doesn't stop there. This is where your salvation comes. Here it is sealed. This does not add to it, but it is a result of it. As a part of that leaven, there are truths that are taught to you in the church, in the home, where the Word of God is open. And let's see how that makes a difference in your life. For example, your speech. Maybe you've been on a fishing trip. Maybe you've been on a shopping trip. And maybe you have just mingled among your friends from day to day. Finally, a person says to you, "You know, I've known you for a lot of years. And there's something about you that's different from the rest of my friends that I really cherish." And you might ask the question, "Well, what is this that you find in my life that's different, that you really cherish?" And you say, "Well, it's your vocabulary. I never hear you swear. Never. Where'd that happen? How's that come? You live in the same society that I do." And you say, "Well, yes, I had a good home. Swearing was not permitted there. I went to a church that taught me that profanity was sin. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And so I guess that's the leaven that marked my life. Another person will say to you, "Well, we're going to go on a vacation, and we want to find a place to worship. If you were not along, we perhaps would not do that, but we know that the church means a great deal to you, and so we will go to church on a Sunday morning." And you say to them, "Going to church is not something that's legalistic, a rule that I have to go by, a sort of a something that I have to fulfill. I go to church because I have to go and worship God. It's the way I was raised. It's a part of my whole being. It's a leaven in me. I go to church because I need to be fed. I'm fed every day by a world that is not too pleasing and acceptable often. So I need to hear the Word of God as it comes clearly to me." You're different. Why is it? Because on Sunday morning, Mom and Dad picked up the family and off to church you went, and you sat in a family pew. And when you were little, they probably had to take you out a couple or three times. And then when they finally thought that you were playing a game with them, they made it clear that you stayed in church. That's why you're still going to church in some cases. Another person says, I noticed that you're very respectful of authority. And you say, "Well, how do you sense this?" "Well, I happen to know your political affiliation. And the President of the United States at the present time is not of your particular party. But I never hear you degrade him." And then the person will say, "You know, there is a fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth." When we were kids, we were taught to respect and to love our fathers and mothers. They were to also love us and in no way cause us to be hostile to them. But they were the one to be respected. You didn't push Dad and Mom around. That gave us an idea of an authority. And so as I went out into life, there was that leaven there. There was that leaven that said, God is to be respected, and those he appoint over us, they're to be respected also. And so someday, if I am disobeying the speed limit and the trooper pulls me over, I treat him with respect. He is God's servant at work. And even though I did not vote for the person who is my president, and should he decide to run again, I would not vote for him another time. But while he is there, he is my president, and I will respect him, for there has to be an authority in this world. It's the way I was raised. Comes from the Bible, if you want to know. Let me ask you another one. Do you hate anybody? The way that person has treated you, do you really hate that person? You probably say, well, I have people who I'm not very fond of. They're not my kind. They're not my personality. The chemistry perhaps is not quite right. But to hate somebody? Well, of course not. Of course not. For God has said that that is not permissible in his kingdom. You're to love them. You're to forgive them. And if we will not forgive them, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. And see, it's just a part of my upbringing. I was moved by the teaching that I got. It was that Word of God that is a leaven in my life. You're away on a trip. Your company has sent you overseas on business. And while you're there, a co-worker from another part of the country, another part of the world, asks you if you would like to have a female partner that night. And you utterly are astounded. You let him know, and you let him know that early, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It has been given to you to use correctly, and it is to be shared by one person, and that one person only, and not until that one person is my husband or my wife. No exceptions. And the fellow looks at you and says, you mean you've never had an extra affair in this day and age? And you look kindly but firmly at him and say, never. Never. That's a way that God teaches in his word. And this country would be a lot better off if we only let that word be the leaven. What about your honesty? Well, stealing appears in sophisticated clothes at times. Yeah, there's a fellow who can go into the clothing store and put a revolver into the rib cage of the clerk and say, give me your cash. That person goes to prison. But there's a stealing that's much more subtle. There's a stealing when I overcharge somebody for something that I have done. There's a stealing that causes me to cheat on my income tax. There is a stealing that takes away something from somebody else in order that I might enrich my own life. God says no to that. Honesty happened to be the leaven of my life. Well, there's a flood in your area, and a friend loses his house. A couple of weeks prior to that, another friend had been the victim of a tornado, and he had lost all that he had, too. Both occasions, you go to help the person who has lost it all. When somebody hears at your age that that's what you have been doing, helping out others, they ask, what causes you to do this at your age? I do it because the Lord Jesus taught me to, that I am to love my neighbor as myself. Well, I can see that you are a Christian by all means, your friend says to you. And you reply, not doing these things or doing whatever God commands does not make me a Christian. All these things we have just gone over does not make me a Christian. I'm a Christian when I trust Jesus Christ alone. I cannot contribute to that. I cannot add to that. But because I am a Christian, I have learned how God wants me to live. His word has been the leaven in my life. It's at this point that I minister with the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unsaved person. Christianity trusts Jesus Christ. The results are that you will love him and serve him as best you can. Don't let me tell you that I have preached self-righteousness to you this morning. No, that's not it at all. None of these things have contributed to my salvation. May I make it clear, ever so clear, that is Christ alone. But when I am his, he is a leaven in my life. What would our culture be like? What would our business world be like? What would our government be like if God's word were not the leaven? Let's hear George Beverly Shea as he sings that tremendous gospel song, Have Your Own Way, Lord. And he has his own way in our lives because he is our Savior, and his word leavens our lives. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Wounded, Lord, and very weary. Please help me. I pray.
Power of power surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit
till all shall sing.
Will you pray with me? And so we pray, Lord Jesus, have thine own way. May you be the potter, may we be the clay. May it be, O God, that in our lives it is your word that has been the leaven all the way. As we draw farther and farther from you, and culture becomes the leaven of our lives, we realize how dangerous it is. Fewer convictions, fewer rights and wrongs, living in the abstract. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, empower your church to preach that word in its fullest. And then, Lord, may we trust you for the rest. This is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that the gospel message you have just heard will inspire you to give thanks for God's many blessings in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders depends on the generosity of its listeners to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Please consider, if you are able to do so, a gift to help us in this mission. Some listeners have joined our GEM, or Gift Every Month Club. They make a regular monthly gift of any amount. If you would like to become a GEM Club member, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. The gifts may also be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. If you would like to receive a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.